play.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2021 Valspar Championship. Took last week off. Hope some of you enjoyed the Zurich, the team competition. First year on DraftKings. Personally, I wanted to see how things went, and it was a good excuse to take a little breather after the long go we've had so far before we get cranking up again. So that's kind of what happened there. We'll probably do something for you guys next year, but you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Not too shabby. And just another beautiful day. And I'm actually really excited about a real golf tournament because I watched a lot of the Zurich on Sunday because I was just kind of hanging around the house, but I really couldn't get into it very much until I saw my one and done pick actually win. So that was fun. No write up, no content this week. My one and done pick wins. Never fails me. Freaking amazing. So good stuff there. But yeah, I'm doing good. Everything good in your neck of the woods, Mr. Scottsdale and everything else?
Yeah. Scottsdale was great. If you ever get a chance to go there, go there. But yeah, last week, man, I played a couple lineups. I was the same kind of as you. Just I was glad for the break. Sorry to anybody who missed our hot takes, but we most definitely would have been all over.
Yeah.
I know for a fact, Leishman, Cam Smith, Louis would have been huge up on my list. Big Wierenski guy, you know. So I mean, it's hard to see how we wouldn't have really got hit the nuts with our picks. So
the I can never say it right. The degenity, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Kevin says it flows Kevin off says. Of Kevin's tongue so much easier. But that was the one thing I noticed. Those are all guys we always play.
Yeah,
like all sitting right there. I'm like,
I had a 4-6. It ended up cashing. You know, like you were talking about before the pod, 6-6 was like 1% because all the chalk missed. So it was a good week to play if you did. Hopefully you did well. But it's just a weird week, man. I feel like there's so much stuff they could do better with that tournament. Mm-hmm. In particular, a scramble. Yeah. I know people. It's not really like official golf, but I want to see these guys shoot 18 under. I think it'd be fun. One round.
Yeah. It's an awesome golf course. Like, it's a good.
It is a really. Course. It's a great golf course.
Yeah, they could do so much with, like you said. Like, I enjoy alternate shot stuff like that. It's fun to mix it up, but maybe throw one round in, like you said, of hey, let's do a scramble, see what happens.
Yeah.
And then maybe do it a 3-day cut after that. Do like best ball, alt shot, scramble, and then we can go on like Sunday, do alt shot again or something.
Yeah.
Like whatever you want to do. So I think that could be fun as well. But hey, it's their little niche. It's fun. But we head to the Valspar this week, which is going to be awesome. 156-man field, so it's a full field, T60s and ties. Expect lots of carnage because it's a rather low-scoring event, which Jesse will get to shortly. It's going to be a doozy, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's a very strong field. That's one good thing about the Zurich is it gave a lot of guys the week off. And then here they are coming to the Valspar, getting ready for the players here in a couple weeks at Wells Fargo next week, where Kevin will be back on the show to chat out to Wells Fargo. Then the players right around the corner.
PGA Championship.
So we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about there. But Jesse, why don't you give some past event history on the Valspar?
Yeah, you also said top 60 in ties. It's top 65. I'm going to let you slide. I feel like you had a long day, Bubba.
Yeah, it's just been a long week. So yes, there you go. T65 in ties. I wish it was T60. Let's make even more carnage.
A baby probably keeping you up at night. yeah. So 2020 canceled, COVID. So last time it was played was 2019. Paul Casey was the winner, 800 par, one shot over Kokrak and Louis Oosthuizen. 2018, Paul Casey winner, 10 under, one shot over Patrick Reed and Tiger Woods. 2017 champion was Adam Hadwin, 14 under. I don't know what happened this year, but because it's really kind of an anomaly, especially with the last basically six, but one shot over Cantlay. Charles Schwartzel was the 2016 champion, 7 under in a playoff over Bill Haas. Jordan Spieth won this in 2015, 10 under in a playoff over O'Hare and Reed. Kevin Streelman, who's in the field, has won this in the past. Woodland, who's in the field, has won this in the past. I don't know if O'Hare is in the field, but he's won this in the past. I feel like he probably would be if he's not hurt. I don't know, but long story short, like you said, tough golf course.
Yeah, very tough golf course. Innisbrook Resort, Copperhead, down there in Florida. And unlike most Florida courses, tons of trees, tree-lined fairways, tight fairways. So the wind can be a factor, but it's not like coming off the water and stuff. So it's not really screwing things up, but it can come into play. There's no hiding that. It looks like there might be wind this week. For now, early reports might be a little windy in the afternoons, but we'll check that out in the Slack chat if you have questions there. But the par 71, 7,340 yards, which sounds like a short golf course, but it's not quite as short as you think. A lot of uphill holes, a lot of undulating holes, a lot of dogleg holes. So you can't just bombs away at this course very well. It's more of a shot maker's course, precision off the tee, iron game in. It's a weird layout as well because there's four par fives, which you usually only see like three on a par 71, and there's five par threes, so you only have nine par fours. It's a weird layout, but you need to attack the par fives and try to – they're hard to get to in two, but you can definitely get there, wedge it in, and have your best chances at birdie. You need to take advantage of that. The par threes, there's like, I believe, three of the five are over 200 yards, so you have to be very careful there just to save – a lot of these holes, it's just save par and move on type stuff. Birdie the par fives, you'll be quite happy. The snake pits, the common finishing three holes, 16, 17, and 18, where I believe almost every year the final scores are always over par in the snake pit. So basically survive there in advance is something to think about. There's water on, I believe, six of the holes. I was reading six and seven, depending on where you looked at. It really only comes into play for the most part on the par 3-13th. But if you're just having a really bad day, you'll probably find it somewhere else too. But it shouldn't be too big of an issue. And there's a lot of like strategic bunkers throughout the layout as well to make guys hit at certain spots, not bombs away. So very technical golf course. That's why guys like Paul Casey, like you said, Adam Hadwin, these kind of golfers make sense. They're not crushing it off the tee. Even Gary Woodland hitting his three wood and doing his thing. So a lot of the names you mentioned make a lot of sense. What kind of stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of accuracy stuff. Stroke skin off the tee is I think, an important one. Approach, scrambling, par five scoring, like you mentioned, is a big one. Typically, especially, you know, with four here, you know, that's where you're really going to make most of the birdies are going to come mostly on those par fives. Going back to kind of what you were just talking about, there's a lot of jungle on this golf course, if I remember. Isn't there? I always forget these things until like I watch the golf tournament again on Thursday, and I'm like, oh, yeah,
you're not really hitting out of the trees if that's what you're asking. Like once you're up in there, you're in trouble. So
you gotta keep it between
the trees.
The trees, yeah.
biggest play.
Plenty of course history too to look at. So and then you know I'm waiting bogey or worse percentage, you know, higher than birdie or better. Obviously, because it should be low scoring, mm-hmm. as far as the winning score should be, you know, close to maybe 10 under. So cut's probably going to be 3 or 4.
Yeah,
over.
Yeah, I think I've seen on average like the last 10 years it's 3 over. So yeah, 3 or 4 would make a lot of sense at this one. I think around the green is going to be very, it's like a scrambling around the green type game because a lot of these guys, these are some of the harder greens in regulation to hit just because of where your approach shots usually are coming from. So being able to just get up and down and save par is going to be huge. Guys like Patrick Reed himself, stuff like that. So these are kind of guys you want to look at here. Like birdie makers like a Scottie Scheffler can be fun, but at the same time, if they're wayward off the tee, does he really have the scrambling game to make it back for you? We've seen that good and bad with Scottie Scheffler before, so we'll see when we get to the DK picks. But lots of interesting ways to break it down. I think guys that can grind it out are guys I'm going to be looking at. That's why I'm going to be – and heavily on Reed this week, so we'll see how that pegs out. But it fits his game quite well. Before we get into the DraftKings picks, let's talk FanShareSports.com. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the package of your choice. Last six events coming in with current form, good current form, DK scoring-wise. You got Justin Thomas, Charlie Hoffman is second in this field. Victor Hovland, Corey Connors, Paul Casey, and Chris Kirk lead the way. That's a pretty surprising list there with guys like Dustin Johnson in the field. It kind of shows you how things have slowed down a little bit for DJ. But you go to the last six events on Bermuda Greens, JT leads the way, then Dustin Johnson, Joaquin Neiman, Corey Connors, Jason Kokrak, and Ryan Palmer. And last but not least, last six events, par 71, 7,200 to 7,400 yards. Leading the way, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, James Hahn comes in third. Matt Neesmith, Louis Oosthuizen also check the box. All right, Jesse, let's get at it. Let's get into our DK picks for the Valspar Championship. coming in at $11,500. You got Justin Thomas, DJ's 11-2, Vic Hovland's 10-5, Pat Reed's 10-3, Paul Casey's 10,000. Who you liking up here?
It's tough, man. I mean, you know, I don't know that I'll really play any of these guys, but I really like more than the other three would be Reed and Casey. DJ, he finished sixth here last year. Before that, he missed two cuts in a row, but that was 2010, 2008, so I don't really worry about that. So finished sixth here the last time out, 2019. But, like, his driver has been typically a strength of his game, and I don't know. I feel like he's just been off. So I don't know what he's working on or whatever, but maybe he figures it out. You know, I think DJ, JT, Hovland, obviously GPP plays. You know, if you're looking for more of a cash game type of play, I would look more towards Reed and Casey. Patrick Reed does have a couple runner-up finishes here in 2018, 2015, missed the cut here in 2019. But like you were talking about, his game should fit around here as far as scrambling, you know, not having to rely so heavily on the driver, just keeping it in play. And obviously Paul Casey, he's won the last two times here. And before that, he missed two cuts in a row, but that was several years before he's won back-to-back. So, again, I don't know that I'm going to be up here much, but, you know, Casey would be my favorite play by far.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it all breaks down ownership-wise up here, but Patrick Reed's the guy I want for sure at 10-3. That's one I like a ton. Pretty self-explanatory when it comes to people I like in the DraftKings game. But my other option I like is Vic Hovland at 10-5. I'm quite intrigued by him. We saw he played at Farmers, which I think is kind of a course you could look at here. We have to scramble and get up and down. And scrambling is not Vic's best thing, but we saw him there. We saw him at the concession be able to compete by scrambling and whatnot. So I think Vic's interesting at 10-5 if you can get him low owned. I prefer Patrick Reed here. Again, I'm not sure I'm in love with anybody in this 10K range, kind of like you are, especially because I don't really want to dig into the 6K range as much. But if I have to come up here, it's Reed and it's Hovland for me. But it'll be interesting to see how they play. Like DJ, if he shows up, could win at any moment. And then JT's just too expensive for me in this field. I can't do it at 11-5 with JT. But, you know, his iron game is some of the best in all of golf. So we'll see how that goes. The 9K range now, you got Scottie Scheffler at 98, Connors at 96, Usti 95, Hatton 94, Answer 93, Sungjae 92, Neiman 91, and Henley 9,000, a very large 9K range. What do you like in here, Jesse?
Start with Corey Connors at 9,600. I mean, like, obviously a place that you really have to lean on your tee to green game versus putting should bode well for him. Tradition of the greatest putter, finished fourth at the Heritage, eighth at the Masters, 14th Texas Open, seventh Players Championship. If you go back to the API, he finished third there. I mean, hasn't finished worse than 15th in his last five starts. It seems to me like he's trending toward a win. Louis at 95, you know, obviously he's sketch with the whole back issue 2 weeks in a row. Is that going to happen? I don't know. I think he's, a fine GPP play. Answer at 9,300, 16th here in 2018, coming off 18th place finish at the Heritage. Sungjae, I don't know, man. You know, he missed the cut last. Did you notice he missed the cut with whoever he was playing with last week? They were terrible at alternate shot. Maybe he's just not a good team guy. I don't know. 13th place at the Heritage. Did miss the cut at the Masters, but 8th at the Honda. 4th here last year. I think Sungjae's fine. I'll be interested to see kind of what kind of ownership he's projected at. But, yeah, I mean, I love this Rangers a lot to play here.
Yeah, I like Corey Connors quite a bit. I'm just afraid everyone's going to like Corey Connors quite a bit this week. He's just been locked in right now. And you mentioned the 16th place here in 2018. He's playing great golf, 4th and 8th in his last two. His 4th, 8th, 14th if you like the last three. So I really, really like Corey Connors. It's going to be chalky. So if you're going to play him, be different elsewhere. But I think he's pretty darn locked in. I love Usti. You're 100% right. Like, hey, does he suit it up again this week, especially after going into the drink off the tee in the first playoff hole?
Oh, man. Did you see that? I forget. We didn't even mention that.
No, that was a shot that, like, I would make. Like, that was impressive. That wasn't even close to the real estate.
You played much alternate shot?
In our tournaments down here, we have a couple different ones we play alternate shot. It's tough. Like
you talk about pressure. You talk about pressure, man.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Like me and usually because I play with guys, I'm not the longest hitter. So if the guys are long, like it's strategy. Like, hey, you get these holes, I want these holes. So let's pencil it out. Not saying that's what took place there, but he basically stepped on that tee and I think the butt was puckering quite a bit.
Well, it's one of those things with alternate shot. I know we're going off on the sideways here, but alternate shot, man, like you have so much more pressure because you're like, fuck, if I fuck this up, it's not just me.
Yep.
I'm fucking it up for my partner. I'm trying to get my buddies to play some alternate shot. We're going to take another trip probably in the fall or something. And we're going to play the same golf course most likely. And I'm like, let's just play 18 holes alternate shot.
Yeah.
I like to play my own ball. I'm like, well, you know, whatever you guys, yeah, it's fun to play.
It's a great concept. Like it's, yeah. I like it because I like I like the Ryder Cup. I like those type of deals. You get alt shot, you get best ball, like all these different things. Mix it up. It's golf. It's good stuff. So I got no problem with it. And it is very difficult. Cause like you said, if you screw up, then the pressure is even heavier on your teammate who has to like bail you guys out. And then if he can't, you're stressed out trying to save par or something. It's just a domino effect of what's going on. Yep. Like you can see the unraveling with some of those teams. It was tricky. It was good stuff though. So yeah, I don't know what Usti's mindset is. I'm assuming he's fine. He's got millions of dollars. I'm guessing he's not worried about it, but Schwartzel could have used his tour card. I'll say that much. Like Usti basically, if you really want to be vain and mean about it, lost Schwartzel a chance of getting his tour card. So, cause his is running out pretty soon. That's one to think about, but I do like Usti at 95. If he tees it up, he's always a GPP play for me. Good form here. His game fits this course phenomenally. So I have no problem going to him. Answer at 93. Love Answer. Anytime you got iron plays involved, he's coming in phenomenal form. Like I expect a T25 at worst from him. Obviously you want more at 9,300, finished 16th here back in 2018. So I like Answer quite a bit at 93. Sungjae's interesting at 92. I just heard his name a ton, and it's Monday afternoon. So Florida course, Sungjae, everyone like runs to play him, which I get, but he's all over the board in his way. He's playing, like you said. I'd rather take Answer at 93 or like in tournament play, give me Neiman at 91. If Neiman gets locked in, he can torch this course. We've seen Neiman go astray a lot, but when his irons are on and, you know, if it does get windy or something, Neiman at 91 could fit this quite well. So I like Answer and Neiman around Sungjae to be a little different. We'll see how ownership plays out because I guess range will be pretty popular, kind of the reasons we mentioned the 10K guys maybe not play so much. I think the 9K, you'll see a lot of 2 to 3 9K guys in lineups, and it'll be one guy from the top of the 9K probably, one guy from the bottom of the 9K. So we'll have to kind of see how it mix and matches, but definitely a lot of ways to go in this range. 8K range, you got Bubba Watson at 89, Rose at 88, Kokrak at 87, Hoffman 86, Palmer 85, Tringali 84, Griot 83, Kirk 82, Homa 81, Na and Gooch at 8,000. What do you like in this range?
Start off top with Bubba. He's had some success here. Fourth in 2019, missed cut in 2017, didn't play from 11. He played in 11 and then 17. Anyways, 28th, third, miscut is his course history here. Him and Scotty actually had a pretty good showing last week. So I think he's okay. Kokrak, man, at 87, like, he interests me a lot because I feel like this is the type of place where he should excel. Don't have to rely on the putter. Again, he's a Corey Connors and Paul Casey type of golfer where the putter, a lot of times, for lack of a better term, fucks him. So second here last year for him, eighth the year before that, did have another seventh place finish back in 2015, playing really good golf, hasn't missed a cut since the RSM back in November. Hoffman, like you mentioned, he's playing really well. I know you mentioned him in the FanShare stuff. 18th here last year, coming off 18th place finish at the Heritage, second at the Texas Open, playing well. Another guy playing really well right now, but his course history is eh. Tringali, I do feel like we can kind of – I feel like he's playing better now than he was any time in the last two or three years. He's missed three straight cuts at this course, but is coming off a ninth-place finish at the Texas Open, 13th at the Honda Classic the week before that, just playing solid golf right now. Griot, I think he's okay. Chris Kirk, you mentioned him in the FanShare stuff. Course history's mixed, missed cut 49th, missed cut 42nd, missed cut. So, I mean, not great at all, but two straight top 10s for him. So Kirk's playing solid right now. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty to like here too. That's kind of where I'm at though.
Yeah, it's a very fun range where you can differentiate quite a bit. I think a guy like Justin Rose at $8,800, tilting is all get up, didn't play in 19, got a fifth in 18, coming off the seventh at the Masters. He's been really all over the board, though. Like coming into the Masters, lots of weeks off, withdrawals, 54th at the concession. Like he's all over the board, but the way he played at the Masters is pretty damn good, and he's got that form. Like, if Rose was playing Justin Rose golf, he'd be a mid to high 9K guy. So it's one of those in a tournament at 88. I think I'll have a little exposure to that. I like Kokrak quite a bit. I think a lot of people will like Kokrak. I remember in 2019, we were like texting and whatnot because you were big on Kokrak back then, and he kind of just fell apart at the end. Like, he had his chance. He was neck and neck with Casey, and like the snake pit really got him. So I think he's not a bad play as well. I think Charlie Hoffman does a great pivot off of it. If Kokrak's going to be as chalky as I think he is, I think Hoffman coming in great form, you can go there. The one guy that isn't getting talked about a lot is Ryan Palmer.
And he's 8,500. That's Florida.
Yeah, but man, he's decent course history here. That's the thing.
I'm with you. I'm just messing with you.
No, I know what you mean, because we've seen him trunk slam like in big, big ways. I just think the idea of most people probably going to Kokrak and Hoffman, you can get a low on Ryan Palmer that I think, barring golf, doing golf things, should make the cut for you. Coming in great form, good course history. You know, got the weekend off at the Zurich, or at least didn't do much. Oh no, he played the weekend. They trunk slammed on Sunday. That's what it was. They were out of the picture pretty quickly. But I think he's interesting in 85. If you're looking for a pivot in a tournament, he's a guy I wouldn't hate on in this one. And then the other one I have is Chris Kirk. You talked about him a second ago, coming in really, really good form. He kind of mentioned with Tringali, you know, a different golfer back then. Kirk, I think, is a different golfer now than he was then as well. So I like that form coming in at $8,200 if you want to go that way. I wanted to click the button on Homa, but, you know, he's playing such great golf, I don't know where he's at right now. And I'm just not willing to take that chance. If you're doing a max entry, though, he does have the talent to finish in the top or win this thing. I'm just not there. Like, if you're doing like three max or less, no max Homa for me. $7,500 to $7,900. Jesse, where are you looking?
Start up top with Keegan, $7,900. Course history is not great. Miscut 31st, 58th miscut. So, you know, he's only made 2 out of 5, but he's been playing solidly. Him and Steele had a pretty good showing last week. The last individual tournament he played was the Texas Open. He finished 23rd. Hasn't finished outside the top basically 30 since the Genesis Invitational way back in February. Sam Burns, another guy, played well last week. 2 for 2 made cuts here, 30th and 12th in his two appearances. Coming off the 39th place finish at the Heritage. Woodland past champion. Lucas Glover, man. He's rating out very well on the old Fantasy Labs model here. Hasn't missed a cut since the Genesis back in February. Playing solid, and this is another guy who typically is very good tee to green and a mental midget with his putter. So I like Lucas Glover quite a bit at 77. EVR at 76. I was just kind of looking at him, and he's never played here, but he's been playing well. 4 straight made cuts on tour, 14th place finish at the Texas Open. I think he played last week. I don't know if they made the cut.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing his name very often last week at all.
And then Denny McCarthy finished 9th here in 2019. Now, I will say, if Denny McCarthy's chalk, I won't play him. And that is, you know, he's likely to be over 10 or 15%. Because he's played pretty well. 13th, 34th, 3rd in his last 3 starts on tour. And then again, that 9th place finish here last year. But, I, if he's chalky, I'm not going there. But really big fan of Lucas Glover. Who you on?
Yeah, I like Sam Burns, the recent form. Like, it's a guy we've – it seems like we're either really, really in on him, or it's like, no, I just don't want him at this course. But he plays this course very, very well, coming in decent form. I got no problem with Burns. He at 79. A guy that eventually is going to burst through and win something. I don't know if this is the course to do that on. But then again, if it's like a lower scoring affair, I think it brings a lot more golfers into play. So it makes it much more interesting. I think Gary Woodland coming in better form than he was before. Like earlier in the year, he was kind of banged up. 40th at the Masters, but a 6th at the Valero. Missed cut at the Players, but I don't really count that much for anything. 43rd at the Concession. Missed cut at Genesis. He's still all over the board, but played really, really well here. His game fits this kind of golf course as well, so I like that quite a bit. Love Lucas Glover, as you said, and that's terrifying. That's terrifying. I feel your pain in trying to justify this, but he's been playing really, really well. Pretty good course history. $7,700, I don't mind Lucas Glover at all. And the only other one I have in this range outside of – I agree with you on Denny McCarthy. He fits this place. Iron play is always wonky, but such great putting can – you know, he can – short game could keep him in play here. But I think CH3 is interesting. This isn't California, but phenomenal course. He's made four straight cuts here since 2015, 18th at the Heritage, missed cut at Valero, 28th at the Corrales, you know, 9th at the Players, 36th at the API. So he's actually played decent in Florida. We usually think of CH3 as a West Coast guy, but he plays this course very, very well. So I think CH3 at 77 can be a nice little low-owned play to chalk up this week. 7K to 7,400. What are you looking at?
7,400. Sam Horsfield. He's a European PGA Tour guy. 15th, 3rd, 8th in his last three starts on the European Tour. Has never played here. But Peter Uihlein at I meant to look this up a minute ago, and I completely forgot. I'm pretty sure he just won.
He won on the Corn Ferry. 2 weeks
ago. Thank you. Yep. All right. So, comes off that win, and then last week, him and Wierenski finished third.
Yeah. I thought they were going to get it. I was like, Corn Ferry win, gets his PGA card the next week. Like, dude.
And then, you know, he has had a few starts semi-recently on tour. He played over in Dominican Republic, finished 22nd, Puerto Rico 39th. So, I mean, he's been around the tour. His course history, 65th, miscut, 57th. So, but I mean, if he's figured something out, I used to play Peter Uihlein all the time, back when he was a regular on the PGA Tour. Doug Gim at 73, he'll be much more popular than Uihlein will be, but, 33rd, 44th in his last two starts on tour, has never played here. And then if you zoom all the way down to the bottom, this is kind of an odd price on Stenson at 7,000, but you know, he's before his 38th place finish at the Masters, and then a decent showing last week with Rose. He had missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight cuts. Has he figured it out? I don't know. Worth a shot, in my opinion, especially if you're going 20 or 150 max. Right below him, or same price, Rasmus Højgaard, 7,000. Never played here. European Tour guy. Did play in the Workday Championship, which was the concession, correct?
Yes.
Finished close to last, but for some reason the model likes him. Keith Mitchell, man, I don't know. Is it Keith Mitchell time?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's going to be very popular. But
if he's popular, I'm not playing Keith Mitchell, but finished 11th here in 2017, has made two straight cuts on tour, which is just pretty good for him. He's on Bermuda. I did read where this place is 90% Bermuda at this point. They had overseeded it. So Bermuda should be the main factor there. And then your boy John Hunt, 7,000. We playing him this week?
I think I might sprinkle him in. If I was having 20 lineups, I would definitely have some John Hunt. Yes. I'm not in love with him, like, to make sure I put him in like 3 max for sure. But I'm always interested in a guy like John Hunt just to make cuts. And again, I said it with Burns and some other guys. This isn't a course that you have to shoot 20 under par. So survive in advance type idea, you know, finish 5 or 6 under. A guy like John Hunt can finish 5 or 6, and that gets you like a T20 or better. That's money. So yeah. I think that's the idea, the mindset you got to kind of have building these lineups is, you know, you see all these big names that have been going super low and stuff. You don't need that this week. You need grinders that can just sit there and, like, I wish Fitzpatrick was playing this week. This is Matthew Fitzpatrick's golf course. Like, this is what he could do. This would be perfect for him, but no, I'm taking the week off. But he probably knows it more than I do. He probably hates this golf course for all I know. But just his game fits this perfectly.
I'm with you.
So, yeah, for me in this range, I think Mac Hughes is interesting. If he can ever putt consistently, $7,400. Again, iron player, which is what I'm looking for, because you're not going to bomb this place to death. So he fits the mold. I like Dougie Gim too, but he will be very popular, as you mentioned. So Uihlein could be a great pivot. It's just always tough with Uihlein. Some of the Euro guys you mentioned, they're all really good golfers coming in really good form. Like you mentioned, Horsfield, I think I saw somewhere, he's like one of the guys, like Ben Coley or someone that follows Euro Tour, tweeted it out. I think he's been like T15 or better in like the last 10 Euro Tour events or something. It's like some crazy stat. So he's playing phenomenal golf, but those fields haven't been loaded either. So it's kind of like pick your poison. Yeah. So I like Gim. Horsfield's interesting. Uihlein's interesting. The other guys I'm in on, and I'm usually not. So regular listeners of the show might want to either be very careful, or they'd be like, maybe Bubba see something. I don't know. But Brant Snedeker at $7,300, really good course history. 30th and 31st the last 2 years. Come up 42nd at the Heritage, played well at the Zurich event, 6th at the Valero, miscut the players again, not worried about that. But then 68th API, missed Genesis, missed Pebble. But he's back back east, Bermuda. I think Sneds is interesting at 73 if you want a lower owned target down there. A few others, Danny Willett at 72, another guy with decent course history coming off the 18th at the Heritage. Current form is wanky, though, because an 80th at the Masters, 80th at the Valero, but then an 8th at Corrales, 31st at the API. So Danny Willett's always a wild card, but really good course history. Another low-owned option at 72. You mentioned Keith Mitchell. I just think he's going to be popular because everyone associates, you know, short courses, Bermuda, Keith Mitchell. And if he does, he plays them great, but it's going to be chalky. The only other guy I will mention, if you want to get off the chalky Keith Mitchell, at 71 bucks, we're back on my boy, Jesse. We're back on Sabs. 18th, 5th, and 42nd, his last three events here. 51st at the Heritage, 30th at the Valero, 67th at the Players. I don't mind Sabs at all at $6,100. Another grinding type event. Doesn't have to go super low. Give me Sabs at 71. All right, what do you like in the 6K range?
Kyle Stanley at 6,800. I mean, nothing's really super great about Kyle Stanley, but he's a better golfer than 6,800. I don't know. I feel like I say that all the time about Kyle Stanley, and it never pans out because he's been in the 6,000s and he's missed three of his last four cuts. But
like the old saying, this is why he's here.
If he figures it out, man, I really like him this week. Seaford at 66. Talk about him just about every week that he plays. Been on him since he was in high school. He's never played here, but coming off a 42nd Heritage, 44th Texas Open. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut since AT&T Pebble Beach, which was way back in February. Seems like lifetimes ago. Wesley Bryan, 6,400. Finished seventh here in 2017, which is his only start. 25th at the Heritage Open. I don't know. I don't anticipate playing him, but it's a chance. And another guy, a little bit lower, 6,300, Joseph Bramlett, has never played here, but the model likes him. Made two straight cuts on tour. Has made five of his last six on tour. So there you go.
For me, Tom Lewis, never played here before, $6,900, but 25th at the Heritage, 54th Valero, 56th Corrales, 36th at the Honda, so I don't mind looking his direction. A few others, Sepp Straka, anytime there's an iron play involved, like approach shot game, I like Sepp for those kind of models, just stay off the tee fine. Sepp could be interesting at 68. You mentioned Seifert, you mentioned Wes Bryant, I like both of them. The only other one I would mention at 6,700 is Camilo Villegas. Current past history, you know, missed cut in 18, 42nd in 16, playing some weird golf over the last few years, but 25th at the Heritage, 17th at the Valero, missed a cut at the Corrales, 8th at the Honda. We've seen a lot of mixed results from him, but when he's on, he puts up some pretty strong finishes for $6,700. So I think he's definitely GPP viable in that sense. But yeah, and then I like your call at $6,300 as well. So some interesting plays. I'm going to try to avoid this realm as much as possible, but definitely some options if we need to go there. All right, let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who you like?
I'll just say Paul Casey.
Paddy Reed for me, Taco Tits. I'm sad. I think I can't. I've already used him in one and done, so that would be my guy. 9K range, who you got?
Connors.
I'm going to go with Answer, but I always go with Answer, so one of these days it'll work. 8K range, who you got?
Will Crack.
That's a very good one. I'll go Charlie Hoffman, 7,500 to 7,900.
Glover.
That's a good one. I'll go Burns. I'll go Burns. 7K to 74.
Uline.
I like that Uline call quite a bit. I'm going to go with Snedeker. That'll be my guy there. And your favorite 6K play?
Seifert.
Okay. I'll go Sepp Straka. All right. If you're starting a cash game lineup, who are you starting with?
I think it's really tough, but Tringale, Kirk, and Hoffman.
Tringale, Kirk, Hoffman. I go Kirk, Hoffman, and Kokrak. I start with those three right in the middle of the 8K range and build around that. If you're starting a GPP lineup out, though, where are you going?
Kokrak, Glover, and Uline.
I'm going to go with Reed, Usti, and John Huh to start things out for my GPP lineup. With all that being said, Jesse, who you got winning this thing? Because this is a wild card week.
Well, I have the Bovada pulled up here, which they don't have odds. Well, maybe they do.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now.
I was looking at it for some reason. I don't know. I was looking at the PGA Championship odds. Why is Corey Connors 20-1? I have no idea. Paul Casey at 25, obviously. Can he go, you know, three-time champion, potentially? Answer at 30, I think, is decent. You know, maybe Kirk at 50. I
like Neiman at 33. I think that's got some legs to it. Don't hate that. I think Burns at 80. Like one of these days, he's going to do it. So I think that's one of those you can keep playing. Obviously, I love Patrick Reed, but that's 18-1. So not really a lot to go with there. I like the answer at 30, like you said. I think Sung Jae will be popular at 28. But, yeah, some very interesting one here. So here, the long shots will be even more fun. But I don't think – I can't remember. I think Casey was a pretty long odds the first year. Obviously not so much the second year. But
I mean, he was maybe probably like 50 or so. But, yeah, it's hard for me to see. Like, I got one of these guys 100-1. I obviously could be completely wrong winning, but –
yeah, even though it's like I kept saying, it's kind of like a not birdie fest type of thing, the cream still usually rises to the top in these tougher fields. Like, again, look at Farmers and some of those events. Some dudes snuck up there, but the guys that were competing on Sunday for the title, usually the big dogs for the most part. So stuff like that. But final thoughts as we're back. Valspar this week, Jesse?
Good luck, man. I mean, it's a fun tournament to watch, but it is very tilting.
Yeah, it's a very, very fun tournament, but yeah, you could be in it 1 second and then just completely implode the next. And it's not quite like Players Championship, you know, out there at TPC Sawgrass bad, but it can be rough. So yeah, I'm with you there. It is interesting, especially when you think you're doing great and then they hit the snake pit and it's just like, oh crap. So like if you're playing Showdown, keep that in mind. If they start on the back nine or start on the front nine, if you're trying for like those birdie bonuses and all that kind of stuff, that can get a little interesting as well. But, you know, that'll be discussed because Dyer is the Showdown, like, degenerate in the Slack chat. So he'll have information for you there. If you have any other questions, hit us up there. It's free. Just give us one of your emails. We'll get you in that chat. But until next week, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And we'll be back with you guys next time. Good luck.